Hello, welcome to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris. This month we find out what a woman wants in a man can tell us about the type of relationship she desires, and why seeing red puts men in the mood for love. Also, finding it difficult to convince women to give you their phone number? We discover a simple method of doubling your success rate. This is the June edition of the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast from oraclelab.co.uk. What do women want from their relationships? Now, if ever I've seen one, there's a simple question that requires a complicated answer. How do we even begin to find out what women want? Well, we could ask them, but there's no guarantee they'd tell the truth. There's no guarantee men would tell the truth either, of course, but women in particular might be under special pressure from society, and even from their own evolved psychology, to conceal their desires. As a way of illustrating this, let's consider the relationship preferences of men. Some men are geared more towards seeking long-term partnerships, including marriage, but many men openly pursue short-term flings. This isn't the sort of information you'd need top-level clearance in the NSA to uncover. It's common knowledge, and men make little effort to conceal their desire for one-night stands. Women, on the other hand, are in somewhat of a bind. Men highly value sexual fidelity in their female partners, and in many cultures it's common for women to experience difficulty in finding a husband if they have any sexual experience at all. Women with a list of sexual partners as long as their arm often suffer reputational damage. They're shunned by men, at least those men on the lookout for a long-term partner, and also by women who are worried about being labelled guilty by association, or concerned that their promiscuous pals might poach their own partners. All this means that it might make sense for women to keep their interest in short-term relationships quiet. But do women give off subtle cues to their dating interests, even, perhaps, without realising it? Carrie Goetz of the University of Texas at Austin ran an experiment to find out. She brought 60 heterosexual women into her lab and had them record a video for a dating website. The women were prompted to talk about their own interests and what they like in a romantic partner. The women also completed a series of questions designed to tease out their mating preferences and how attractive they considered themselves to men. Afterwards, Goetz's research assistants watched the dating videos through and noted down whether the women expressed a preference for each of four different types of attractiveness indicator. The first was so-called good genes indicators, like physical attractiveness. The second, resource investment indicators, such as wealth or ambition. Third, good parenting indicators, for example, someone who likes children. And lastly, good partner indicators, including likability, a willingness to commit, or a warm personality. First of all, Goetz found that the simple act of expressing mate preferences, regardless of what those preferences were, was associated with a desire for a short-term relationship. In other words, women who weren't interested in flings were more likely to avoid expressing an interest in any type of man. This might be a way of communicating a lack of interest in men in general, which, paradoxically, men might find appealing. It might signal to a man that once he's been chosen as a long-term partner by this type of woman, he won't have to worry as much about his partner leaving him for another man. Women who thought they themselves were attractive were more likely to be seeking men with good genes indicators, the most masculine and physically attractive men. This probably works out for the best because this type of man tends to prefer short-term relationships, and women can reap the benefits of a man's good genes on a one-night stand. They might fall pregnant with genetically superior offspring, and even if they don't, there's evidence that masculine men are better in bed. It's a win-win situation for these highly attractive women geared towards short-term relationships. Women who were looking for a long-term relationship tended to talk more about their desire for a pleasant, warm, and likeable partner. Surprisingly, they didn't focus on their preferred partner's parenting skills as we might imagine they would. This could possibly be explained by the women's relative youth. Their average age, after all, was 19 years. Or it could be explained by the fact that talking about children in a dating video might scare men away. Even the nicest, most commitment-hungry men prefer to buy a woman a drink before they start picking out baby names. I've talked on the podcast before about the link between the colour red and attractiveness. Women in the fertile phase of their menstrual cycles prefer to wear red clothing, and women who wear red are seen as more attractive. We also know that men who wear red clothes when they play sports are more likely to win, probably because the colour boosts their confidence or drains the fighting spirit of their opponents. This all makes sense if we consider the coloured sexual ornaments of other members of the animal kingdom. A female chimpanzee's bright red backside advertises fertility, and the most testosterone-fueled males often invest their internal resources on the development of striking red displays, such as the red belly of the male stickleback or the red plumage of the cardinal. Pavel Prokop of Trnava University and Martin Hromada of the University of Prešov, both in Slovakia, recruited 150 students for the most comprehensive study of clothing colour preferences so far. The research participants completed an online survey. First, they reported on the colour of their own clothing. They also chose outfits they'd prefer to wear in a number of different situations, such as going on a date or to a party, or when visiting grandparents or working in the garden. Some of these situations, of course, are more closely associated with encountering potential mates. So, are men and women more likely to choose to wear red clothing when the prospect of finding a new partner is high? The researchers found that women were more likely to be wearing red than were men. 22% of the women wore red on the day they completed the survey, but the same was true of only 8% of men. When asked to choose an outfit for a situation in which the probability of meeting a potential mate was low, both men and women were unlikely to choose red clothing. But when the likelihood was high, when the participants were asked to imagine choosing an outfit for a party or for a date, women were much more prone to choose something in red, more than twice as likely as they'd be to choose red for other, more mundane activities. Perhaps surprisingly, men were no more likely to wear red in either type of situation. They'd be just as likely to wear red if they were going to visit their grandparents as going out on a date. If red gives men a competitive edge, one might expect them to use a red shirt to ward off rivals, clearing a path to their preferred potential partners. But perhaps if women don't find red clothing as attractive on a man as men find it on a woman, the costs of wearing red offset the benefits. This doesn't appear to be the case for women. Men find red attractive, and women, perhaps even without realising it, are cued into this preference and choose to wear red when they want to attract a man. And men, with our tiny brains, rush right towards women wearing red as though we were bulls hypnotised by a toreador's red cape. That's how easy it is to attract a man. You just whack on a red shirt and you're away. See, there's no simple trick if you're a fella. Or is there? Finally this month, we've got another research paper by the king of attractiveness psychology field experiments, Nicolas Gagen of the University of South Brittany. Last month, Gagen showed that women sunbathing on a beach attract more male attention if their lower back is tattooed. He also found that women are more likely to agree to give their phone number to an unknown man if he appears to be of high social status. Gagen sent men out into the street in regular clothing or in a firefighter's uniform and had them ask random women for their digits. The firefighter was more successful, which I actually find surprising. I would have thought a firefighter is only attractive in special situations, like when he's atop a speeding fire engine, rescuing you from a towering inferno, or perhaps on a calendar. But it seems they're appealing even when they're strolling through a shopping centre. There you go, you learn something new every day. Gagen later tried a similar experiment in which the male confederate jumped out of a supercar, a more average car, or a rusty old banger, and again asked passing women for their number. The women were much more cooperative with the owner of the higher value vehicle. This all makes sense if we understand women's mate preferences as the first step towards producing high-quality offspring. After all, that's what female mate choice in other species is all about. And strong but sensitive firefighters, or men with enough disposable income to splurge on a Porsche might have the right stuff to help raise high-quality, healthy children. But what other cues do women pay attention to when picking and choosing a partner? Some researchers have suggested that a man's musical ability could have the power to turn heads, because musical men might be more intelligent. And it's even been theorised that they might have healthier genes, perfect for creating healthy children. We know that female birds prefer males with the best birdsong, so the idea that women might make use of music during courtship isn't entirely cuckoo. We even know, thanks again to Nicolas Gagen, that women respond more positively to men's advances after they've listened to a romantic song as opposed to a neutral song. So, Gagen sent a 20-year-old man out onto the streets of France and had him ask every single young woman he passed if she wouldn't mind sharing her number. One third of the time, the man carried a guitar case. Another third of the time, he was empty-handed. And the remainder of the time, he carried a sports bag. The results of the study were clear-cut. When the man was empty-handed, only 14% of the women gave him their number. But when he carried the guitar case, his success rate more than doubled to 31%. Only 9% of the women cooperated when the man was carrying a sports bag, so we can be confident that the effect of carrying a guitar case can't be explained by the man carrying a bag of any kind. It's important that the bag contain a musical instrument rather than a football kit and a sweaty jockstrap. Seems fair enough. So, do women prefer musicians simply because they might have good genes? Well, nobody's suggesting that the connection is as straightforward as that. It's likely that women use the guitar as a way of making more commonplace assumptions about the man. Gagen suggests that because it's well known that rock stars make a lot of money, the women might assume that a man with a guitar has a good chance of being able to rake it in. I'm not so convinced, and I think it's more likely that women see a guitar as an indicator of penury. After all, it's no secret that the majority of musicians are hardly sitting atop a mountain of gold coins a la Scrooge McDuck. I think it's more likely that women see a guitar as evidence of an extroverted personality. A man has to be thick-skinned to get up on stage and start strumming away. A guitar might also signal that a man has a good social life, that he's gregarious and would be interesting to spend time with. This is all speculation, of course, and we won't know for sure until someone goes out there and does the research to show what women really see in a man with a guitar. If you're a psychology student looking for a research project, I'm talking to you. Get out there, catch a plane to the south of France or wherever it is, buy yourself a guitar, have a bit of fun. But one thing's clear. Men can double their chances of getting a date by lugging about a guitar. It's the male equivalent of throwing on a red shirt. And if the man teams the guitar bag with a yellow helmet and a flame-retardant jacket and leans up against the Mercedes, well, their success rate has got to be in the high 90s. There's some advice for you. Thank me later, guys. That's all for this episode. If you'd like to find out more about the research featured in today's show, head over to www.oraclelab.co.uk and click on podcasts. You can also keep up with new research throughout the month by following Oracle Lab on Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Psychology of Attractiveness podcast. I'm Rob Burris.